Welcome to another episode of What's Up, Prof. I'm Martin Smith. This is Walter Feit.
Hi, Martin.
Are you well?
No, I'm going to ask you, how are you today?
I'm very well.
I'm going to turn it around.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
No, you can't be, because the Bible says there's nobody good, no, not one.
Okay, sorry. I am doing well.
Fine.
What are we talking about today?
We're continuing our topic.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at the causes of disease last time, and we spoke about good blood and all of the thoughts out there. And this time we're going to take it to a practical level and have a look at practical health in a time such as this.
Okay, so let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the privilege of these discussions. You gave us all the knowledge through the Bible, so help us to implement these things into our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Martin, in a time of crisis, when all earthly support is cut off, how do you deal with these things? If you've made that mind shift from disease is actually my friend, and not my enemy, and he's telling me that there's something that I have to take care of. Now, some of that can be introduced from outside in the form of toxins or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we have to look at how do we help the disease to cope with certain issues. Now, one of the things that bothers people is that natural remedies seem to take time.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, you know, they don't work. We want something that gives instant relief.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So they add a drug to the problem and actually exacerbate the problem. Here's an interesting quote from the Ministry of Healing. The use of natural remedies requires an amount of care and effort that many are not willing to give. Nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual, and to the impatient it seems slow. The surrender of hurtful indulgences requires sacrifice, but in the end it will be found that nature, untrammeled, does her work wisely and well. Those who persevere in obedience to her laws will reap the reward in health of body and health of mind. Again, you have the body and the mind.
Oh, that's so important. It's not all about your physical well-being. It's about the mind as well.
Correct. And then make use of the remedies that God has provided, and we've looked at them before, pure air, sunshine, and the intelligent use of water. That's an interesting clue.
Mm-hmm.
Are beneficial agents in the restoration of health. But the use of water is considered too laborious. It is easier to employ drugs than to use natural remedies. That's a problem with humanity, right?
Yeah, instant fix.
So we are actually admonished to educate away from drugs. Drug medication, as it is generally practiced, is a curse. Educate away from drugs, use them less and less, and depend more upon hygienic agencies, then nature will respond to God's physicians. Pure air, pure water, proper exercise, a clear conscience. Those who persist in the use of tea, coffee, flesh meats will feel the need of drugs, but many might recover without one grain of medicine if they would obey the laws of health. Drugs need seldom be used. In another place, she says, can be dispensed with altogether.
Yeah.
Now, why are flesh meats always on the list? Flesh meats are acid-forming,
mm-hmm.
highly acid-forming, and the body likes an alkaline system.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't want an acid system. And many a disease, or most disease, is from an acid system. And since animal products like meat are highly acid-forming, And some of the processed foods are highly acid-forming, like cheese, for example, is one of the most acid-forming foods in the world that you can eat, and therefore totally unfit for food. Those create the basis and the foundation for disease. So what are the foods that we should eat that are alkaline-forming? Fruits, vegetables, legumes, some nuts. Others are acid-forming, but slightly acid-forming. Now, we also need acid-forming foods because you need amino acids, and they're acids. Without them, you can't build protein. So some acid foods are required, but the preponderance should be alkaline foods. Now, what does it mean to have the intelligent use of water? Well, most of your body consists of water, right? And we talked about the oceans in our body, the interstitial fluid, the plasma, and the intracellular. Now, once all the metabolites end up in these fluids, they have to be removed from the body. Some are removed by the kidneys, some are removed by the sweat glands, and others have to be discarded in other ways. Some of them are ingested, macrophages, that you get rid of them via the intestinal system, through the skin, or through the lungs. So how do we assist the body? Well, they're all dissolved in water, right?
Correct.
So if you can flush your system, that's one way of doing it. So the first thing you need to do is you have to make sure you drink enough water, so that you do not only have enough water to meet your needs, but also to flush the toxins out of the system. So most people would say you need about 2 liters of water a day. And if it's hot, and if you're working physically, you need more than that. So that assists the body to get rid of it. And what kind of water do you need?
Yes, that's important.
Yes. Now, nature supplies the best kind. Rainwater, artesian well water, spring water, those are the finest forms of water that you can have. Now, water also has a particular surface tension. And cells need another surface tension. So there are surfactants that are added in the blood, proteins and other lipid compounds, to break down the surface tension, much like soap in water breaks down the surface tension, then you can dissolve dirt easier. So it happens in the body. So good water, spring water, artesian well water, rain water.
Maybe I just want to also put in, when you're thirsty, it's already too late to drink. Then you should have drank water already.
You should drink water on a regular basis. So most people devise a little plan here or there. One way of doing it is to have a full glass of drinking water in the restroom. So when you release water, you replenish it immediately.
That's a very good system.
And another way of using water intelligently, especially when you are sick or the lungs are congested, then steaming is very, very beneficial. In other words, you put boiling water in a bowl, you add a little bit of salt, that changes the dynamics of the steam, and put a towel over your head and inhale the steam. That loosens the phlegm and helps the body to get rid of it. You know, people take substances that dry up the phlegm.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you don't want to do. You want to get rid of it because the body is telling you, I want to get rid of this stuff. So the mucus glands, they take toxins and release them, and your white blood cells get added to it. So normal phlegm is white. If you are infectious, then it's yellow because there are white blood cells that have died and given up those things that they've taken up, detoxifying the body. And now the body says, get rid of it. Don't dry it out. Get rid of it. So steaming is very, very beneficial. Or sweat baths or steam baths. That's an intelligent use of water. Fermentations. Mm-hmm. If you have a bronchial problem, then bring the blood to the lungs. In other words, put hot fermentations with water. That brings the blood to the surface and helps to detoxify that particular area.
Okay, but just for a practical illustration, you say bring water to the chest. But is that in the form of a hot towel that you put on there, or?
Correct. Now, heat is not enough. It needs to have the steam, the water in it. So basically what you do is you can put a dry towel on top of your chest. Then you add a hot towel with the water, steaming water on top of that so that you do not burn. Put another dry towel over that. Put a plastic sheet over that. Go and lie under wraps. And then change that three times. And in between, rub it down with ice water. Mm. That is quite a procedure. That's why many people don't want to do it. Yeah. But then you have a hot-cold treatment. And you're also shunting the blood from away from the skin to the skin, away from the skin to the skin. And this helps the body to fight the problem.
Yeah.
Salt rubs are also something that you can do. Hot and cold showers and hot and cold rubs, these are all things that are very beneficial. So water is not only for drinking, it's for steaming, it's for fermentations. You can do, if you have an injury, for example, you can put it into hot water and then into ice water, mm-hmm. into hot water and into ice water. Many, many things can be resolved in that way.
There's also, if it's difficult to get into a bath, you can do one where you have a bucket with hot water, you put your feet in it, and you put a towel, and
correct.
That will also get you sweaty.
Correct. And then, of course, herbs, the natural things that God has made available. And many, many herbs have very good remedial qualities. So water treatment and simple herbs. The Lord has taught us that great efficacy for healing lies in the proper use of water. These treatments should be given skillfully. We have been instructed that in our treatment of the sick, we should discard the use of drugs. There are simple herbs that can be used for the recovery of the sick, whose effects upon the system are very different from that of those drugs that poison the blood and endanger life. As we've discussed before, prescribed drugs are the number three cause of death,
yes.
as a consequence. So it is well known that that is the situation. And as we've also said previously, people take a drug to solve a particular ailment, and then they have to take a drug to take care of the side effects, which again produces new side effects, so they take another one to cope with those ad infinitum until they take a whole handful mm-hmm. of pills and burden the system. So pure water is for drinking, it's for steaming, it's for inhaling, it's for sweat baths, it's for fermentations, salt rubs, hot and cold showers, etc. Now, there was a scientist, and his name was this one over here, Batmanghelidi, but apparently you pronounce it Batmanghelesh. Now, he was an Iranian doctor, a very interesting fellow, and he had his training in the United States of America, and after the revolution, he was in Iran, and they locked him up. And he spent much of his time in jail. And being a medical doctor, he was very busy trying to help all the inmates there. And he didn't have any medication to give them. And so he would prescribe water. If you have a headache, drink a glass of water. If you have this ailment, drink a glass of water. And many of them actually got better, right? The ailment went away. And so eventually he got so interested that he divided them up into groups. And the one group got treated like they regularly treat them in those facilities, and the other group was treated with these water therapy, and the results were astounding. And he was busy with this experiment, apparently, when the notification came that he could be released. And he said, no, I can't be released now. I'm busy with an experiment. So willingly, he stayed another 6 months in jail. And he wrote a book called Your Body's Many Cries for Water. And he was speaking about histamine and water regulation. Now, you know that if you have an allergy, you take an antihistamine, right? So he said allergens should be treated with water. For example, asthma, lung dehydration. Salt is also an antihistamine. And you should never take caffeine drinks. You must drink water instead of soft drinks and juices. And many in the world said, well, he's a bit of a quack. So they didn't take him too seriously. But his results speak for themselves. And his book, The Body's Many Cries for Water, became quite a bestseller. Now, it's interesting that when somebody stumbles upon something, he might have taken it too far and say, you know, everything comes from water. Well, obviously not. Allergens like, for example, asthma can be alleviated by drinking a lot of water. But they also come from other things like casein, for example, in milk. So you can't take it too far, but it's interesting that he recognized in that prison that if you give water and people drink more water, then many an ailment can disappear. So the general medical fraternity regards that as quackery, but the results speak for themselves. Another thing that's very important in the time that we are living in and that we are heading for in particular is charcoal. Mm. Every household, this is a sort of purchase list, right? Make sure that your home chemistry shop
yes.
has, your home chemist has all of these things in good supply. And charcoal, as I've said, is probably one of the more important ones. Here's a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. I feel impressed to recommend for your consideration the use of charcoal as a powerful agency for removing poison from the system. I have on several occasions been impressed to suggest the use of charcoal, and it has often brought relief when every other means had failed. Some people were on the verge of death,
yeah.
and charcoal turned it around. It's particularly if you have an infection, or just generally. One of the ways to take charcoal is to take charcoal tablets,
mm-hmm.
or you could take a teaspoon of charcoal
in water.
Mm-hmm. Or a juice if you don't like that gritty taste. It's going to be gritty anyway, and swallow it down. And it absorbs toxins. It has these micropores. You know, when we were doing lab experiments, then we would do hormone analysis, and often you have to centrifugate and get rid of whatever other dissolved substances are present. We would use activated charcoal and then centrifuge it down, then you know that the soluble stuff has been removed and you can work with whatever you have to
work. It works like a magnet for all that stuff.
It's amazing. Just while you're talking about a magnet, you know, the body is an electrical system. And we read that the life is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the previous lecture, we discussed that red blood cells generally have a negative charge and they repel each other.
Yeah.
If you have an injury or there's a medical problem, those charges are often reversed,
mm-hmm.
which means that the blood is attracted to it because it has a positive charge. Now, the blood also has stem cells in it, and the blood produced in the intestine comes also from stem cells, and some of them are in a state of differentiation. They can become any kind of cell in your body. So you have an injury, the blood is drawn to that, packs around it, and starts working on that injury and restores whatever needs to be restored. So if you need bone cells, those stem cells can provide the bone cells. If you need another cell, they can provide that. So the life is in the blood. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. So that's where a scab comes from.
Well, yes, that's the blood that has leaked through, and it makes a scab, and it covers the affected area, and the skin regenerates underneath. So the blood is really the one that is the life giver. So if you use charcoal, how do you do that? Well, one of the things you can do is you can make a poultice. You can just take a linen cloth, for example, and cook up a little bit of linseed, dissolve some charcoal in there, spread it across, and then paste it on the affected area and put some, what they call in America, saran wrap around it.
Okay.
Or in our country, we call it foil, right?
Oh, glad wrap.
Glad wrap. And then that will absorb any toxin in the wound or in the affected area. But you can also make bigger ones and place them over the liver and draw out toxins, particularly, you know, people that have smoked. That nicotine will draw right into that charcoal.
Yeah, and even if you were alcohol drinker.
Alcohol, any kind of detox that you want to do, a charcoal poultice is an excellent way to go.
You can also put it on the kidneys.
Absolutely, any affected area.
And you sleep with it.
You can wrap the wrap right around you and go to sleep with it or walk with it during the day. And then discard it, because you don't want to have those toxins go back into your body, right? So you could take 2 or 4 capsules of charcoal a day. Charcoal is the preeminent detoxifier. And when taken on an empty stomach, works its way down into the intestines and activates a blood purification process known as interstitial dialysis. So it actually helps the body to draw those toxins right out. So that is a very important item to have in your first aid kit.
Definitely.
So let's have a look at herbs and naturopathy. Are grateful to the invalids weary of city life, the glare of many lights and the noise of the streets, or the quiet and freedom of the country? How eagerly do they turn to the scenes of nature. How glad would they be to sit in the open air, rejoice in the sunshine, and breathe the fragrance of tree and flower. There are life-giving properties in the balsam of the pine, in the fragrance of the cedar, in the fir, and other trees also have properties that are health-restoring. So here are a few simple little guidelines. We'll look at the science in a moment. Here's another tree she refers to. Again, take warm foot baths into which have been put the leaves from the eucalyptus tree. There's great virtue in these leaves, and if you will try this, you will prove my words to be true. The oil of the eucalyptus is especially beneficial in cases of cough and pains in chest and lungs. I want you to make a trial of this remedy, which is so simple and which costs you nothing. Now, it's interesting that a foot bath is often mentioned.
Yes.
You know, Martin, the foot is the lowest part of the body, and the foot is the area that accumulates most toxins. So a foot bath, you can even put a little bit of charcoal powder into that foot bath, will draw out those toxins and help your body get rid of these things.
You know, that's actually true. So if you have a foot problem, most probably there's something not too good in your body.
Correct. And for example, if you get septicemia, which is blood poisoning, and you get it in the foot, you have a very high chance of dying, because it's the lowest part of the body and you have to get those toxins out of your system. Now, your feet, concentrate them. Now, you can get them up through the lymph, but for that you have to walk. Now, people that have sore feet don't walk. And that is a problem because the lymph pumps are in your legs.
Yeah.
They are your lymph pumps. They pump the lymph up. And there are little valves which prevent it from flowing back, but you have to get it up until it goes back into the circulation and go through the whole process of cleansing it. So a foot bath is something that is worthwhile considering. So let's have a look at some publications. This is the National Library of Medicine. And it says pine needles contain suramin, which has been reported to be effective as an antioxidant, an antimutagenic, anti-tumor effect. And not all pine needles are good. We'll see that in a moment. But generally, these are the publications that have come out. So again, pine needles have remedial substances. And one of them is suramin. Let's just look at some others. Here's an abstract. We don't have to read it all from this publication. Pine needles, Pinus densiflora, have long been used as traditional health-promoting medicinal food in Korea. To investigate their potential anti-cancer effect, antioxidant, anti-mutagenic, anti-tumor activity were assessed in vitro or in vivo. Pine needles ethanol extract significantly inhibited iron-induced lipid peroxidation and scavenged radicals in vitro. So it's very effective. We don't have to read it all.
Mm-hmm.
Just to show that the science backs the statement.
Correct.
So what's good about pine needle tea? Pine needle tea has a pleasant taste and smell. That's a good start. It is rich in vitamin C, 5 times the concentration of vitamin C found in lemons.
Yeah.
Can bring relief to conditions such as heart disease, varicose veins, skin complaints, fatigue. Boost the immune system, of course. Can help infections. It contains high levels of vitamin A, which is good for eyesight, improves hair, skin regeneration, etc. It's an expectorant for coughs to help relieve chest congestion. It's also good for a sore throat. They say it brings mental clearness. Well, if your blood is improved, then your mental clarity will improve. You know, we discussed in the last one, clumping. That reduces the oxygen supply?
Yes.
Well, if you do that and you cut your oxygen supply by half, that means your brain is getting half of what it needs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
1 cup of coffee.
40%.
40% reduction. You don't want to do that. You want to have a healthy mind. For a healthy mind, you must have healthy blood.
Yeah.
Can help with depression. That could be secondary as a result of a better supply of oxygen to the brain. It's good for blood pressure. So all of these things. Okay, so pick some pine needles, let them soak in boiling water on your stove, and it'll add a crisp pine smell all over the house. So here they say the eastern white pine makes a great tea, but you should try and avoid cypress and yew trees as they have toxic needles. Now, there's something else that you find in pine needles besides suramin, and that is shikimic acid or shikimimate. And they are toxic pine needles, as we've said. Be careful when drinking pine needle tea. Drink the oil and the resin that accumulates too. And this shikimate or shikimic acid and their derivatives, they possess cancer-fighting, antiviral, antimicrobial, anticoagulant, and antithrombotic properties. So they help your blood to stay nice and thin.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about good blood, right?
Correct.
So the judicial use of water and some of these simple remedies can be used to keep the blood thin. Here's another scientific article, News Medical Life Agency. Scientists are anxiously searching for an effective antiviral to combat severe or critical COVID-19, which has already caused over 1 million deaths worldwide. A new study published in the preprint server BioRxiv reports the elucidation of the mechanism of inhibition of SARS-CoV-2 by non-nucleide inhibitor called Suramin. So you find that in pine needles, right? Now, we do not have to talk about the mechanism as to what is primary. Did it come from outside or did it come from inside? If you are aiding the disease, then you won't need to respond as vigorously to the disease. Yes. So in that way, it'll be, let's call it, antiviral. Suramin also has been shown to be an inhibitor against a wide variety of other viruses. So basically, what the science shows is that you reduce the output of these substances if you think they come from outside. And if you think they come from outside, the same applies.
That's it. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It can work. It helps.
Correct. So there are other herbs that you can use, and there are many web pages that talk about these things. Try and find those that use reputable sources and don't just, you know, sprout whatever they think. But basically, if you go through all of them, there are some that they all have in common. They all suggest the following. Oregano. Oregano is a very popular herb in the mint family that is known for its impressive medical qualities. Its plant compounds, which include carvacrol, offer antiviral properties. So again, let us put it this way. It helps the body to rid the system of whatever is ailing it, and therefore we do not have to have such a vigorous disease response. And then that helps the body. The second one that is recommended is sage. It's also a member of the mint family. It's an aromatic herb. And it also has antiviral properties, antimicrobial properties as well.
Just a question. The use of these, is it now in food or is it making teas?
Well, you can put it into the food as a condiment or as herb. Or you could make a tea from it. Mm-hmm. Basil. Basil has many, many redeeming qualities. And there are many types of basil. Some of them are perennial. Some of them are annual. So make sure you can plant them in your garden. And some of even have what they call holy varieties. And one test tube study found that sweet basil extracts, including compounds like apigenin and ursolic acid, exhibited potent effects against herpes virus, hepatitis B, and enterovirus. So basically, the bottom line is there are substances which help the body to cope with whatever the problem is. Mm-hmm. Now, something like basil has a very interesting taste. You can add it to your food, particularly Italian type of food loves basil. But once you get used to the taste of basil, it's a wonderful herb just to place on an avocado sandwich, for example. Now, I can eat a whole pile of it. And once you get used to it, then your palate starts liking it and craving it. Fennel is another one that you should consider. Now, remember that all of these are alkaline forming. So in that effect alone, they contribute to a healthy system. Yeah. Fennel has a licorice flavor, and they say it is potently antiviral. So again, if it can help your body not to have to use all of these mechanisms to get rid of whatever toxins it is, then that is a good thing. Yeah. Garlic. In a study in 23 adults with warts caused by papillomavirus, applying garlic extract to the affected area twice daily eliminated the warts in all of them after 1 to 2 weeks. Additionally, older test tube studies noted that garlic may have antiviral activity against influenza A, B, HIV, HSV, viral pneumonia, rhinoviruses, which cause the common cold. Now, we did quite a few experiments with garlic, mm-hmm. and also wild garlic. We used wild garlic as well and found that it is incredibly antimicrobial. It's, in fact, better than some of the antibiotics.
Oh, wow.
So that's an interesting point. So these are substances that we can use. Now, you can make certain drinks that will be power bombs to help you in a cold and flu situation, and we'll talk about them in a moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even if you want to, in the morning, drink half a clove of garlic with water, it's a very good antibiotic.
If you want to do that, yes. Of course, some people will say it will interfere with your romantic life. And some people can take it to excess. But in times of disease, the romantic aspect fades into into second place. Lemon balm. Lemon balm extract is a concentrated source of potent essential oils and plant compounds that have antiviral activity, and they quote many, many scientific papers to back it up. And test tube research has shown that it has antiviral effects against avian influenza, herpes, enterovirus, and many, many things, even in children. Peppermint is another plant that one can effectively introduce into the garden. It also grows quite easily. It has antiviral qualities. You can drink it in teas, tinctures, and you can have natural oils from peppermint. Put them into your steam baths mm-hmm. to help you as an expectorant. They contain menthol and rosmarinic acid, which have antiviral and anti-inflammatory activity. So, you know, if you have some of these herbs available, you don't have to have them all. But what is available, use it. Rosemary is antimicrobial. It's anti-inflammatory. It's an antioxidant. So you can add that to your food, and you can also use extracts. And you can rub it and put it onto fermentations to bring that aroma out. So there are many, many ways in which you can use it. It is excellent in cases of influenza, hepatitis, etc. Echinacea is another one. Well, everybody knows about the qualities of echinacea and echinacea tea. Again, it's very effective in viral infections, influenza, and Echinacea purpurea is thought to have immune-boosting effects as well, making it particularly useful for treating viral infections. So the natural things that God has provided not only helps you to rid you of the toxins, but also supplies the very compounds that you need to boost your immune system.
Because a lot of infections, like you mentioned earlier, most of these help with alkalinity. And a lot of infection inside of your body comes from acidity.
Correct.
And what's also practical about these that you've shown is anybody can grow this.
Yes.
You can grow it in your in a pot outside on this on
Correct.
The porch.
We have one patch in our garden where we grow as many of these as we can. So rosemary, sage, basil, all of those grow readily in our garden. Elderberry is, for many people, in case of influenza, the go-to. Mm-hmm. It's also known as sambucus. So it is made into a variety of products, elixirs and pills. and they treat viral infections like flu and the common cold. For many, many people, this is the go-to one, and it's very effective. Licorice tea has many, many uses, and in Chinese medicine, it's been used for centuries. And it contains all of these interesting compounds, and they all have such interesting names. And these are the active substances, and they have powerful antiviral properties. Also, licorice helps with blood pressure problems, for example. Test tube studies demonstrate it's effective against HIV, RSV, herpes virus, and severe acute respiratory syndrome-related coronavirus. So this is one of the go-tos. You can make a tea of it.
I must say that's one of my favorite teas.
You like licorice tea? I also have licorice tea when there is a problem. Astragalus. It's a flowering herb in traditional Chinese medicine. It boasts astragalus polysaccharide, which has significant immune-enhancing and antiviral qualities. Ginger. We've planted quite a bit of ginger in our garden, and it's amazing. One plant gives you, from one little tuber, gives you a huge amount. And it's an elixir. You can put it into teas. Many, many natural remedies are attributed to it. It has been shown to have impressive antiviral activity. It has high concentrations of potent compounds. So this is another one of those that is antiviral, anti-mutagenic, antimicrobial. And if you put that together with echinacea into a tea, or you make a combination tea, excellent.
And you can maybe on the practical side, just on the picture show, when it starts to grow that little, like a horn.
Yes.
People can cut it off and plant that part.
Correct. Related to it is ginseng, which is also used in the East, particularly in Korea. And it is very effective against viruses. By the way, Martin, if you add ginseng or ginger to a garlic drink, then it masks that potent aroma that you get. And there are other advantages. Some say that this one helps you with your vigor and gives you more energy, etc. And then the dandelion, you know, the little Cinderella of the flowering plants. Such a common little plant.
I just want to say here, most people think it's a weed.
Correct. It says right here, it's regarded as a weed, but it has great medicinal properties, including antiviral. And it has been shown to be very effective. So some of these edible flowers are excellent.
You can make coffee of the roots of dandelion.
Correct.
You put it in foil and roast it in the oven.
Correct. And then you get to some of the really potent ones. And cayenne pepper. Cayenne is probably an absolute must in your little toolbox. Yeah. It contains natural compounds called capsaicinoids. And that's what gives it its flavor and its anti-inflammatory properties. It can reduce hypertension. It can prevent blood clots. It can prevent myocardial infarcts, heart attacks. So this is really a very, very potent product to have in your house. And it's so simple to keep. So make sure you have this. And if you have circulatory problems, then drink some of this. And it feels hot, it feels like it's burning, but it's a sensation. It's not an actual burn.
Yeah.
So it doesn't create the problems that an alkaloid, like black pepper, for example, would produce. So this is something that you can use. So if you have problems, heart problems, palpitations, or anything of that nature, then put a teaspoon of red pepper, of cayenne, into a glass, put it into something like fruit juice or something, make it a little bit less potent, and then drink that down. It can bring almost instant relief. And especially for myocardial infarct, they say that, you know, a dose of red pepper can actually assist the body. And you know that man that spoke about the body's many cries for water?
Yeah.
One of the things that you can do if you're feeling faint is put a few crystals of salt under the tongue. That is also a very effective way of helping to get your blood pressure restored to what it should be. So red pepper or cayenne pepper has many, many qualities. And it is also anti-inflammatory. So it can help you with inflammation of the body, of any of the urinary tract, etc. Turmeric is the other very important one. Now, we also grow turmeric in our garden, and we keep it frozen, and just take a little piece and put it in the blender. So it contains curcumin, and that's the main component, and it is a potent anti-inflammatory. It's probably one of the most potent natural anti-inflammatories that you can get. Yeah. It's such a simple thing to have in your house, right?
Definitely.
Now, one of the things you can do with it is you can make an anti-inflammatory milk.
Yes.
So you take a plant-based milk, like soy milk or almond milk or any one of those. And the main component, curcumin, dissolves in fat readily. Mm-hmm. Now, these natural milks like almond milk or soy milk contain a high proportion of fat, so that helps. But you can assist that even by adding, let's say, a teaspoon of coconut oil.
Yeah.
And then you add a teaspoon of turmeric in a half a liter of milk, and then bring it to a simmer. Mm. Not boiling vigorously, just bring it to a simmer, stop it, stir it, and then put it in a container, cool it down. You can keep it in the refrigerator. And then use it like a medicine. Three or four times a day, you take a few tablespoons of that. Or you can take a glass and drink it. It doesn't matter because it's not going to harm you in any way. But it's one of the most potent anti-inflammatories that you can find.
We even drink it when it's still hot, like a hot drink.
Like a hot drink. Add a little bit of honey.
That's it.
And enjoy.
And honey is also anti-inflammatory.
Correct. I don't think I even have honey in this, but honey is amazing for skin problems, for burns, for many, many things you can use honey.
Even with if you have very bad eye infection, honey, if you put it into the eye, is a very good, but it's not very pleasant.
No.
But it helps a lot with an infection in the eye.
And the shelf life of honey is almost infinite. Do you know, Martin, that they found honey in the tombs of pharaohs?
Yeah.
That is still edible.
Yeah, that's thousands of years old.
Yes, that's thousands of years old. So now if you look at these compounds that we've discussed so far, if you want to make a bomb.
Yeah, you've now told us how to make golden milk.
Gold, that's golden milk, yes.
Now, tell us the
how
the
to make
bomb,
a bomb.
Rocket fuel.
Rocket fuel. Cayenne pepper. So you take a teaspoon of cayenne, and you take a few cloves of garlic, and a sprig of ginger, and you blend that all together, and you add a little bit of honey if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that
and turmeric
mm-hmm. and you put it all into that blender and to make that rocket fuel, and then you down it in one shot and you feel the fire coming out of your ears. You can just see those enemies being destroyed, and that is something that helps in many, many cases.
I don't know if you mentioned lemon.
Ah, yes, we should put lemon on the list as well with the skin.
Mm.
So wash the lemon well, take a slice and blend that in with your rocket fuel. Or generally speaking, make yourself a juice with the whole lemon and carrot and apple and make a juice of that and drink that as a booster. High vitamin A, high vitamin C. There's more vitamin C in the skin, plus all of the volatile oils in the skin. All of those things in that rocket fuel or in a juice. Excellent. Now, stinging nettle is an amazing, amazing plant. It's anti-inflammatory. It's anti-allergen. It detoxifies. It is effective for treating prostatic hyperplasia. That's enlarged prostate. But it's important to note that for that, you need the roots. The okay. roots are more effective than the leaves. Both work, but the roots are just better. So to have a tea from stinging nettle roots. And blood sugar control, it lowers blood pressure. And it is a detoxifier par excellence. So if you have an ailment that involves inflammation of any kind, that is probably one of the go-to teas that you should have. And it really helps to cleanse the system. And then the simple nasturtium. Mm-hmm. What a powerful little plant. We planted a patch in our greenhouse, and it grows magnificently. You can use any kind, the general one that is on the picture here, or the variegated one, which has the little streaks in it. It's potently antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory. And you want to look at some of the evidence. Here are some scientific papers. Antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory activities of the volatile oil compounds von Tropeleum majus, the nasturtium. And it comes from the Journal of Biotechnology. Our studies have demonstrated the efficiency of the natural compounds of this plant as an anti-inflammatory treatment in animals. The antimicrobial activity proved to be selective depending on the pathogens. The results are in agreement with those of other studies. Our results supported the selection and utilization of these compounds as antimicrobial agents in the treatment of infections with microorganisms resistant to existing antibiotics. Mm. So here's a very simple one. It has a sharp peppery taste. You can eat the flower. You can eat the leaves. So when we have a problem, we go into the garden and we take a leaf or two and chew it. You can chop them up into your salad and give it sort of a peppery taste. You can eat the flower as is. Just make sure there's no bug in it. The bugs like it too.
If you get one of those stink bugs in there, I don't think it's going to be that great. But what's interesting for me is that it says there, also with microorganisms resistant to existing antibiotics.
It's the same like garlic. It is also effective in that region. But this plant is amazing. So you, two or three times a day, you go in there and you pretend you're a grazer and you eat a leaf and you eat the flower, and that is the same as taking medication, but it is not harmful and doesn't have side effects. It's amazing.
Amazing. You see, if it's God's natural way, it's always the best.
Correct. Another important one to have around is St. John's wort. Now, particularly for mental problems and depression, St. John's wort is amazing. So, seasonal affective disorder, that's people that become depressed when it becomes winter, for example. So, it's a mood lifter.
Yeah.
Without drugs. You know, you get mood lifters that have other side effects that you don't want. Now, St. John's wort doesn't fall into that category. It supposedly helps with obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, and social phobias. Basically, it is an anti-anxiety product. So it's a useful one to have in your medicine chest. And then golden seal. Golden seal is a miracle herb. It is praised for its antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties. It is used to treat skin disorders, lack of appetite, heavy or painful periods, sinus infections, indigestion, and other inflammatory or digestive disorders. It is considered a natural antibiotic and is often combined with echinacea and promoted as an item to strengthen the immune system. So it's a very potent one. You can, of course, get the tincture. Then you take about 10 drops 3 times a day in a little bit of water. And it is a very important product to add to your medicine chest.
Okay, I have a question again. These products that we've just seen, on how regular a basis can you consume this?
Well, the teas you can drink regularly throughout the day. If you're having the tinctures, then they're more potent, then you use them about 3 times a day.
And most of the times, why I'm asking is because sometimes you can buy this off a shelf, and then that will have instructions on how many times. But if you plant it in your garden, you're not going to know. So maybe just read.
This is the beauty of herbs. The chances of you overdosing on a herb are virtually null. Scrofularia, or figwort, it's known to be an antipyretic and anti-inflammatory, and it's used for laryngitis, fever, swelling, constipation, and neuritis. So, you see, many of these have overlapping effectiveness. So, you don't have to have them all, but whatever's in your area, try and get that. But ginkgo biloba is a very interesting one. And it's a very potent antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. It improves circulation, heart health, and it's a blood thinner. It improves cognitive function and reduces anxiety and depression. So it's something that you could use together with St. John's wort for people that are depressed. So these are just things that can help people in this modern society.
Yes.
This modern society is so depressed. Just think of all the antidepressants that people use. Eh?
That's the number one drug in the world.
Yes, St. John's wort, ginkgo biloba. Now, when I used to fly a lot, I used to get flight thrombosis. I had flight thrombosis about 3 times from all the flying that I did. So the lockdown was very good for me. But then I would make sure when I fly that I take ginkgo biloba.
Yeah.
And if I go on a long trip where I sit, I'll take ginkgo biloba. Ginkgo biloba is an excellent product. You get it in a tablet form, and just take 1 or 2 tablets a day, and away you go. Eucalyptus, we've already discussed it to some extent. The oils are very potent. They can be decongestants, disinfectants, anti-inflammatory. And tea tree oil falls into that same category. It's also anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antifungal. So, Martin, if you do the steam inhaling, you can add a drop of eucalyptus oil and a drop of tea tree oil. It's very disinfectant. And together with the steam, it helps you to get rid of the problems that have occurred in your lungs. And particularly with these diseases that we have today, like the corona, makes a very thick mucus.
Yeah.
The steam loosens it. So this is the beauty of this way. You're not fighting the disease, you're helping the disease. Yes. So your body is throwing out whatever it is throwing out. Whether it is an environmental toxin or whatever you want to think that it is, your body is trying to get rid of it. So help the body get rid of it. And a little bit of banging on the back together with the steam loosens the phlegm. Repeat it 1 or 2 times. You'll have coughing spells like crazy, if you put a little bit of eucalyptus or a drop, just one drop is enough. Don't put more because it'll overwhelm you. If a little bit of clapping on the back helps to loosen it. And if you have a major coughing spell, that's part of your defense mechanism to get rid of it.
Yes.
So
get it out. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
That's the way. Don't depress it. Help the disease. Don't fight the disease. Lime blossom, Lindenblüten tea is amazing. It relieves anxiety. It fights inflammation. It relieves mild pain. It's a diuretic. It lowers blood pressure, helps with sleep disorders, soothes the digestive tract. So here is something that if you are fighting disease, this is an excellent tea, because not only does it fight the inflammation, it gives you that calmness so that you can sleep.
Yeah.
And that's what the body needs. It needs rest. You know, people don't understand that you have an anabolism and you have a catabolism. The one builds up, the other one breaks down. Now, when you go into sleep mode, you're in catabolism. When you're in active mode, you're in anabolism. So when you are sick, you want to help your body to fight the disease. And therefore, you don't want to divert energy into waking activity.
Yeah.
Rest, sleep. Do what the body tells you what it wants.
So if I'm understanding correctly, in the catabolism state, you get rid of stuff. That's why you sleep so much when you're sick.
Correct. Yes. Saw palmetto. Here's another interesting one. It prevents hair loss, mainly by converting dehydroepiandrosterone, the testosterone balance, so it improves urinary tract.
I should have had that when I was younger. Hair loss.
You might have solved your problem with your hair loss. It helps for prostate hyperplasia. It regulates testosterone levels, and it's anti-inflammatory. So sometimes you can combine things. So, for example, if you have prostate problems, saw palmetto is one that will certainly assist in that, but you can combine it with others, and I'll show you some in a moment, like buchu, for example. We'll come to that. And it's anti-inflammatory. So saw palmetto is a very good one to have around. And if you combine it with something like buchu, buchu has quite a pungent flavor, and it takes some getting used to. But it's an excellent medicine. It's a disinfectant for the urinary tract, and it helps with bladder infections, cystitis, infections of the urethra, the prostate, kidney. Reduces hypertension, arthritis, rheumatism. It's really a wonderful, wonderful plant. Now, when we lived in the Cape, which has a winter rainfall, it likes cold temperatures and wet winters. It grew up in the mountains, so we had a regular source. These days, we don't live there anymore, so we have to buy it in the form of tea. It's an excellent one. So one of the go-tos.
So this one you combine
with saw palmetto, yes. And you can also use it, as you say, for all urinary tract infections, and it is a great cleanser. So any one of these combinations, amazing what you can do.
There's also another one, chamomile flower.
Yes, the chamomile. I think I didn't even put it in here. But chamomile, yes, it's also calming.
Yes, very, very good for when you want to have a good night's sleep.
Sleeping disorders. So
also mild pain. It works for that as well.
Yeah. So together with lime blossom tea.
I'm sure that will be a good combination.
Another one that you can use for sleeping disorders is passion flower.
Okay.
The Grenadilla flower, passion flower. So passion flower tea, chamomile, and lime blossom tea.
Lime.
If you add those three and you make a concoction tea, then that is a sleep recipe.
Yeah.
So these are the kinds of things you can do in a time where you will need a strong immune boosting system. And by the way, Martin, if you have had these diseases and you're debilitated, or even if you're vaccinated and you feel that you have side effects, then help your body. Use charcoal, take the charcoal, and make sure you have the following vitamins and minerals at hand. These are the ones that I would consider to be on the top of the hit parade in terms of what you need. Selenium, magnesium, and zinc. Those three. Selenium, a natural source in the plant world, Brazil nuts are a very good source. But you can buy supplements. Selenium supplement, magnesium supplement, and zinc supplement. Those are your immune-boosting minerals. You want them in your first aid kit. As for the vitamins, make sure you have your vitamin Bs. If you want to have good blood, vitamin B12, get the little soluble one that you put under your tongue. It's cheap, and it can help with producing a good blood. Vitamin C, they say particularly the lipospheric vitamin C, which is in a liquid form, you drink
okay.
it. But vitamin C in general should be in your first aid kit. Vitamin E, of course, vitamin A, folic acid, and vitamin D is absolutely essential for a good immune system. Even in countries like Southern Africa, where we live, where we have lots of sunlight. I mean, look at yourself today. Your body is covered in clothes.
Exactly.
You're not sitting outside producing vitamin D because a lot of our work is indoors. Nothing wrong with taking a vitamin D supplement. Those are the main ones that you should need for a powerful immune response. And if you take all of those together with charcoal, then you can alleviate many of the unwanted symptoms that are prevalent in the world today.
Maybe just important, don't take it at the same time as charcoal. A little bit, because otherwise the charcoal will absorb.
Correct, yes. There you must use your common sense. Charcoal is something that absorbs everything. So take that first, wait a few hours, and then take your supplements. And then another important thing, Martin. Thousands die from neglect of human kindness. Love, kindness, touch. There's an interesting story about this hospital in India where they practiced these things during the crisis that the world has experienced, where they gave personal touch, natural remedies, lots of water, and lots of kindness. And people were not nearly as sick as those in the general environment, where there was no contact whatsoever, social distancing, fear, and all of these things. Love, kindness, and touch are some of the most important things that you can think of. And this is something that the world is lacking. The love of many will grow cold.
And now they've, with this whole scenario, that's the last thing that is prescribed.
The last thing. And it's one of the most
distancing,
important.
I mean, if you remember, the previous one, we actually showed Gibraltar, the island of Gibraltar, and they are fully vaccinated, 100%. But with their lockdown now over the season, they said, don't touch each other, don't hug. So
I wonder how many old people died because of lack of human kindness and touch. In the last year, this is something that stands as a record against humanity. Psalms 18 verse 35, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand has holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. It's one of the attributes of God is gentleness. And the fruits of the Spirit, as we know, are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. No law. But, you know, sometimes governments make laws against these things.
You know, unfortunately, the reverser of everything, what do you always call it?
I call him the master of reversal.
Mm-hmm. Then it is natural that he will go against what if God says love, kindness, touch.
Correct. And here is a letter in the spirit of prophecy. Remember that human kindness is not an unfailing spring, but a spring which must be supplied from the fountain of life, or it will run dry. You know, the fact that God has been removed out of society is responsible for the lack of human kindness. Just that interview that we spoke about in Austria. It is stunning how callous and cold humanity has become.
Selfish.
Selfish, yes. So I want to end this little discussion with Psalms 91, because Psalms 91 deals with the time of trouble that we are rapidly entering into. And it has such amazing promises. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. This is the first attribute. You have to learn to trust God. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And you shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth in noonday. It's interesting that the pestilence walks in darkness, right? It's associated with evil. I don't think we should go into that, otherwise we could get into trouble again. But people should really start thinking.
Logically.
And then this promise, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. So there are certain things that we can do to help us in a time such as this. And if we make a little study of how to use natural remedies and apply these simple means together with human kindness and human touch, you'll see what a difference it can make.
Especially in the time that we are living in now and we are going into.
And in a time when this will be the only means left to help people, because the other will have been exhausted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are the author of life. You are the designer. You know what we need. You have made choices available. Out there in the plant world, we can choose that which is detrimental to us, and we can choose that which is beneficial. And You have given us freedom of choice. Help us to make right choices, to use the right plants, the right herbs for the needs of the body in the time that we are living in. Thank You for these tokens of Your care. May we appreciate them and use them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.